It's about 6 o'clock in the evening on Wednesday, February 25th, 2015, and you are listening to the National Homelessness Marathon. It's a 15-hour radio broadcast made by campus and community stations across the country. We aim to make linkages between Canadian communities experiencing homelessness. We enter the third hour of our broadcast with a segment from CFRU in Guelph, Ontario. It's an hour-long segment focusing on stories from youth who have experienced homelessness in Guelph. A reminder to our listeners that some of the content is not suitable for younger audiences. It's discussing very serious subject matter, and there may be some profanity.
The following broadcast focuses on six different individuals who were interviewed while hanging out at the Wyndham House Resource Center in Guelph, Ontario. The hour centers on firsthand experiences of youth homelessness in Guelph and the ups, downs, and advice when it comes to being homeless. All of the songs were handpicked by the individuals in the broadcast.
Do you want to introduce yourself? This can be as simple as your name or what kinds of things you get up to. It's really anything that you would want people listening to know about you.
I'm Austin Morris.
I guess my name's Connor Whitehead. I'm 20 years old, type 1 diabetic. Been homeless off and on for 6 years.
My name's Tyler. Over the years, I've been a pretty withdrawn, like antisocial, kind of like lazy person who didn't work, but now I'm starting to work and more outgoing and social. Some people think I'm fun. Some people think I'm funny.
Yes, my name's Nathan Crocker, or Nate. I just hang out and try to go with the flow.
Oh, see, I'm a mom and a student and an outreach worker and
yeah,
a lot of things.
That's perfect. Okay. That works.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. My name's Dave. I've been in Guelph for about 10 years, and I've been in and out of all the different scenes in Guelph, so I like to get involved in my community as much as possible.
What does homelessness mean to you?
To me, homelessness just means, you know, anyone at risk of not having a secure roof over their head or knowing where they're going to sleep. It could be a youth, it could be someone with a mental disability, it could be someone with a substance abuse. Yeah, it's really anyone who's just minoritized maybe in society to me. Just as simple as not knowing where I'm going to sleep tonight is homelessness to me.
It means not a lot of sleep. It means an empty stomach and frozen fingers. Lots of butt picking.
That's what stands out the most is butt picking.
I can't count the amount of packs and cartons of cigarettes I must have rolled from butts. Yeah, so it comes from boredom.
Yeah, you just, anytime you talk to someone, you just go out for a smoke, or when you're not doing anything, go out for a smoke.
Even if you just have one, you see someone else lady smoking, you're like, oh, time for a smoke.
Yeah, exactly. Why not, eh?
I don't know. I guess, like, in a way, homelessness is kind of like a rite of passage in its own sense in today's society. Because, like, I see, like, a lot of, like, straight-edge mainstream citizens, like, kind of like robots. I think the trials and tribulations that I've been through have made me more of a real person. Because when you're at the top looking down, you don't really notice what's under you. You don't notice those people at the bottom end of the chain. But when you're at the bottom, like, all you can see is what's above you. You're always looking up, trying to, like, make your way up there. So you notice everything. You get a wider perspective on life, better understanding on things. Because there's a stigma on it, and people just don't want to be around it.
It means to not have a safe place to be, not have a safe place to be yourself, and be warm and fed and comfortable and warm. In my years of being homeless, it was just like going from place to place to place. Like I'm originally from Kitchener and did the Out of the Cold program 3 winters in a row. And it's like you're woken up at 5:30 in the morning to be out the door by 7, and then where do you go? Mm-hmm. They give you a couple bus tickets, go hang out at a soup kitchen until you can, you know, go to the next spot to be warm. And it was just always, you know, plastic beds and recycled pillows, and it's never your own, and it's just from going and going and going. And then even I stayed in the whole having to leave in the Saturday morning. But it's Saturday morning.
That's supposed to be your time to like sleep in.
Right? Yeah. And but it's just it's always going, going, going.
I don't like questions like that. But it's just hard to think of it. I don't know, homelessness to me, it's just for being of experience, it just, in a way, it's obviously terrible because you don't have anywhere to go. Most times you're stuck in the cold, you're stuck in the shelters, and you're just floating. But in a way, when I think about it, it's freeing in a way, but it's also like not, because like you're not tied to anything, but you have nothing at the same time. So as everything I like to put it, it's a small adventure and an experience some people have the opportunity to experience. Mm-hmm. And per se, it's not the best experience, but it's an introducing to life.
Living out on the street and having really nothing to put your head and rest that night, and yeah.
I guess where you're at the point where you have nothing really to kind of live for, because you've lost almost everything at that point. It's morally just a frustration, not knowing where you're gonna go the next day or have a place to stay for the night. Push and push and push till it hurts. My tables on roller skates. You're down at the roller rink. Picking up chicks for me. Ones that push and push and push till it hurts. Push and push till it hurts.
Do you want to talk about what your experiences are with being homeless? And again, this can be as little or as much as you want.
I did it for 2 months, and I slept out over near the terminal.
Where
all the buses stop. And sleeping on a bridge for 2 months. And I didn't really find it hard. It was just more of depressing. And like, I never would have thought growing up that I would ever sleep on the street or anything, but it was actually, like, very peaceful at night. It was, like, really peaceful.
My experience is being homeless. I've had a lot of time on and off being homeless since I was, like, 17, turning 18. I was living with my dad. I was going to high school, and then we got arrested for growing marijuana in the basement. He went to jail, and my stepmom didn't want me living with her because we don't get along. My dad was kind of like a mediator, and I was 17, so trying to go to school and sleep in a ditch is not good. And you feel like a bum if you're staying with your friends all the time, so like a lot of the nights I'd just spend out in the field or in the stairwell. Yeah. You don't get a lot of sleep. Every noise you hear, you wake up because you don't want people to see you sleeping.
Well, I left my home at like 15 because me and my dad would always fight. Yeah. And then I just kind of couch hop from city to city where I could go. It'd be like 3 months, 2 months on and off.
Experiences. I stayed at Mary's place in Kitchener on and off for a long time too. And the staff in that place was always so kind. And at the time, I was a lonely little meth head amongst a bunch of opiate users. So I was kind of the oddball out. And they were doing construction at the time and converting like the upstairs into individual rooms. So we were kind of all thrown into a dorm. Mm-hmm. And so everyone would be like nodding and KO'd by like supper time. And I'd be in my little corner at nighttime with my little lights trying to draw or sew or whatever I'd be doing. And the staff was just so, they just let me kind of do my thing. They didn't bug me, and they were always so willing to, I don't know, just willing to just be accepting of my opposite behavior as opposed to what everyone else was doing. And they were kind at Mary's place, really kind.
I've been homeless for a long time. I left home really young. So yeah, I've been doing it for a long time, and it's been, you know, I'm sure I have trauma history, substance abuse history, like many different factors has led to my homelessness over the years. And, you know, sometimes it goes up, I get a place, and it's not the greatest place because of my living situation, my financial situation. So I find over the years I've bounced around a lot, not really had a lot of long-term secure housing.
Right.
So I definitely have a lot of life experience.
My experience of it started when I was 16.
Right.
I ended up moving to Lutherwood. And from Lutherwood, I was at Kiwanis House in Kitchener. And from there, I moved. I stayed there for a month and ended up going to House of Friendship Shelter, which is like an adult shelter from 16 and up. In my experience, it was scary at first, not knowing what's going on. But then at the same time, you realize it as in, because you see other people in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, you're not the only one, it's other people. But you know that it's a thing that there's a lot of people who experience the same thing, so you're not exactly alone. You learn different things through it. Like, what I've learned from there, I could have learned being in a structured house.
Mm-hmm.
What I learned from being there and from understanding how life worked, and it still took me a lot to understand and figure it out, unless it's, in a way, something's almost like, you almost have to paint a picture for me to understand something.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, one thing, like, I never understand a lot of things that would go on in there, especially with the drug talk started to get into.
Yeah.
People would talk about, like, I'd hear people say, oh, I'm going to go get a 5-piece, I'm going to go get a 10-piece, or, like, a 20-piece. I first thought that they were talking about, like, chicken. Like, fried chicken.
We're going to Popeye's. Who wants a 5-piece? We're going to
go KFC chicken. I first thought, like, I didn't know what was going on. Like, I was about to jump in. It's like, yo, throw in a piece of them for me. Like, come on. And I started to think about it more, and I'm like, oh, wait. They're talking about drugs.
Yeah.
And at that time, because, like, from what I heard, I was like, oh, drugs are bad. I don't know if I should get into this.
Mm-hmm.
But then you just grow up, like, people need anchors in life, something to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
And
in
a way, that's what drugs are for some people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in life, I just saw that I may be homeless now, I may be in this situation now, but eventually it may be different. People always just, like, even if they think of it as not doing anything, they always just think of it as, like, you're always supposed to feel pity for people like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even that. No one's looking for anybody to feel sorry for them. Mm-hmm. And some people, they milk it to get, like,
with sometimes pain. Sometimes a little bit of pity is nice.
A little bit of pity, yeah, it's nice. You get a bit of change from it. You get a sandwich. That's good. Like, no one's going to throw away something. That's something that someone else gives to it. And then, you know, you figure out your ways to get that. And people always just like, oh, you're just hustling, you're just doing this. In a way, that's your way of life for the time period you're doing.
Yeah.
And it might not be the best way, But that's like
the hustle is real though. Like, the hustle is real. Like, it's what you really have.
It's like, discredited, and like it's kind of obviously not the best way, but it's a learning curve. Mm-hmm. It's what you do. It's what's real. You have to do to get your way in life to survive. Like, if I'm talking to someone, like, I've even changed the street in the precinct before. Or talking to someone, and then I'll see them go to another person right after me. And it's like, I think it was an asshole of them to do it, per se. Like,
right. Okay.
And then
yeah.
But at that time, when I was younger, that was my point of view at the time, because I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they have. That's all they have to do. Money, in turn, controls the life. Without money, you can't get anything.
Yeah.
There was this guy in one town I grew up. We used to call him the $2.85 guy, because he would literally go around asking people for $2.85. And I'm like, why would you go to this guy? You just ask this person. I'm just like, well, at the time, you have to get what you can get.
Mm.
It sucks. You have to go to multiple people, even after the person, because you still need something for the next day. It's a bridge. Like, I realized that when I was younger, and I'm like, well, I'm always quick to judge without knowing the full story. Mm-hmm. On top of the world, on top of it all, trying to feel invincible.
Do you want to share what the hardest part of being homeless has been for you?
Establishing, like, meaningful relationships or, like, finding companionship.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's really lonely. And, like, you don't feel good about yourself. So, like, how can you expect anyone else to feel good about being with you? Unless you, like, hit the point where you've been in that lifestyle for, like, quite a while and you're used to it now. When you're first going through the transition, like, adjustment period of when you first become homeless or whatever, you first hit the streets. You kind of like feel like nobody really understands your problems. Nobody understands what you feel like. Nobody's ever been through what you've been through. You can be like, oh, yeah, other people are homeless. But like my situation's different. Everybody feels unique, right?
Yeah.
But really, yeah, like your life is unique, but everybody hits rock bottom once in a while. Everybody loses their place. And they just feel like, yeah, they're lonely, but they want to like do things on their own. They feel like they kind of become the snobs that they resent themselves in a way, if you think about it. They kind of like keep people at arm's length. Like they want someone there, but they want to like keep them at arm's length. But at the same time, they're clutching them so they don't get away. After a while, you start to like, when you're with other people that you can relate to, like other like friends of yours that are like on the streets or whatever, or going through the same kind of thing, then it starts to change. Yeah, you start to like share stories or experiences with each other, or like you'll end up finding someone in the stairwell that you're going to sleep in that night or something, and you just hit it off and like connect that way. You just need to be making progress and like doing something to help yourself, and then it seems like, I don't know if it's God or just the universe or what, but like things just come your way.
I guess the hardest part would be depression, because like really at the end of the day you have no one to talk to about it other than a social worker, and like really that just kind of pisses you off more, listening to them think they know everything about you.
Yeah, and they're like getting paid and like
they're getting paid to sit there and just listen and basically answer your questions with another answer or another question most of the time.
Trying to sleep at night, I think, was the hardest part.
Yeah,
knowing that you're not in a place that your family is, and I don't know, like it was hard. Like my brother was on the street and stuff, and he slept with me a couple nights, but still not the same. It's not like there's always just that one little thing that was missing. Like you also always want like a nice comfortable bed to sleep in that you can just sprawl out and like pass out.
Not having a home itself, not knowing you can feel safe or comfortable where you are. I'm sure you can put your head down everywhere. But morally speaking, for yourself, like even now, like as I'm not homeless, I have a place over my head and I have food and I get money. But knowing from being homeless really knows that like where you are, you have to make it, like your home doesn't have to be a full structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's where you are. It's where the people you care about are. Home is where you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So to get through, that was my like my biggest thing, not always feeling, having a purpose or feeling welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing if I'm bouncing around here, was there ever a time I would?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess to me, I made everywhere I am a little home. I tried to be open and find friends anywhere I could. So it was like any little place I can feel comfortable, that's a little chunk of home. Mm-hmm. So like as a, even growing up, like even like pass up part of actually being homeless, going from like room in a house to room in a house, there's still no structure.
You gotta build it.
You gotta build it over time. So even the small things, you just build a little substance over what you got. And even morally inside, your home is where you are.
Constantly losing my things. I would get, so if I was at some shelter and for some I'd have too many overnight, so I'd get evicted and I could only take the stuff on my back, and they, you know, but I would have gathered a ton of things, like clothes, whatever they may be, and I'd go back to get my stuff and they'd be like, oh no, we needed the space, and they got rid of it. And or you go to jail and you come back and it's like, okay, well, where's my stuff? And it's always gone. And just the whole stuff, you really learn to appreciate definitely what you have and what's in your backpack at the time, because if you leave anything anywhere, it's not going to be there when you return.
Now that I'm a little bit older, the hardest part is gaining the skills that I would gain if I wasn't homeless for so long. So like life skills, you know, I don't know if that's direct or not, but yeah, I'm noticing like instead of going to the soup kitchen and, for example, and having someone make me a meal, now I have to learn how to make that meal myself, which is simple, but at the same time, it's really stressful too. So I now have to learn how to budget my money to get food. That's one of the hardest parts I'm finding with over the years. Now I'm dealing with it. And I think it's really, for me anyway, it was really emotionally hard and lonely being homeless. Because, you know, you can be around people all the time and still feel very alone, I found. So I think that was what was hardest for me. Oh, life.
was just a dream. That was just a dream. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Losing my religion. Trying to keep up you. And I don't know if I can do it. Oh no, I've said too much. I haven't said.
What needs have you had, if any, that haven't been met while you've been homeless?
More warm places of food, really. It would help a lot more out there.
Tampons. As a woman, they do not give feminine hygiene products. And this is across the board. Mm-hmm. I've been homeless in Toronto, in Hamilton, in Kitchener, in Guelph. And it's not very often you will find a place that has tampons. Wow. Or pads.
I wouldn't have thought of that. But that's a pretty important one.
Absolutely.
Wow.
It's not like we can, they'll give razors. A man can, or anyone can go without a razor, but yeah, a woman can't go without a feminine hygiene product.
Yeah, you'd think that people would think about that.
Yeah. So if you ever want to donate to a shelter, donate tampons.
There you go. For people listening, it's an important thing that people need.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of agencies out there and a lot of help out there, but I found that sometimes I just didn't know about it. So.
Right.
I could have definitely used a lot of one-on-one counseling. I mean, I've gotten a lot of help over the years, but I definitely think, you know, a lot of help with housing would have been really neat, like really helpful for me. Instead of me having to figure and kind of map out all the different help in the city, it would have been really nice if someone had showed me, taking me place to place.
Yeah.
But... well, you know, I found them, so... But,
it just takes time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot more the community could do as well for people.
Okay.
But at the same time, when I say that, I mean, me being homeless and the next person being homeless, we might both, you know, live under the same bridge but need different things. So I think it's a very individual...
It changes from person to person.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't think there's one thing that I could say to answer that question. Mm-hmm. I think it's, again, depends on the person.
I think at the end of the day, like, I might have felt differently if you asked me this question a couple of years ago or even a few months ago. Well, maybe six months to a year ago. But I don't know. I think at the end of the day now, looking back, like, at the end of the day, everything is in your hands. Like, if you feel like needs aren't being met, it's because you're not working on it. You're not, like, trying to find the help that you need or whatever. You're not looking in other places. Like, you can't just like sit around and expect things to come to you. You can't expect things to be done for you. The only person that's gonna help you is you.
What do you think you would have said like 6 months ago? Or you don't have to say that either, but
I would have said like, oh, nobody really does anything. They just make it look like they're helping you so they look good. Like, they put they put apartment postings and job postings, but then they don't really help you get the place or help you get a job or tell you what you need to do or walk you through it. But honestly, they do. You just gotta ask or figure it out. It's pretty much common sense. It's just intimidating for a lot of people. But, like, think about it. You go to, like, you want to get on Ontario Works. You go to the Ontario Works building, go to the desk, talk to anybody behind the desk and be like, this is what I'm looking for. Direct me to the person that can do it or do it yourself. You just need to be more of an optimist than a pessimist, more of a, like, glass half full than half empty.
In small ways, my needs always been met. Because I always, as I look to go for, I never try to look for anything more than I needed. As much as I was homeless and I wanted everything, and I tried, and I still never had the right mentality because I was younger. I was still, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get a job and do this, go to school. It was the mentality that I was trying to look for, but, like, the aspect of life never always, like, aligned it.
It's going back to that, like, you have this linear thing.
The linear thing, you still want to get that.
Yeah.
But you're starting to see how life really is.
Mm-hmm.
But the same side of things, you're supposed to think that way.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you start to see the bigger picture of how it really is, you can really choose what you want and build it on your own. You just have to put the effort in and do it.
Yeah.
Instead of actually conforming to what society wants us to do. Yeah. Or what is supported. So I always felt like I needed to do something, but that wasn't always the right thing, if that made sense.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know how, but like, I've always had food. I always brushed my teeth. I always had, like, my hair cut. Like, my mom would just once in a while take me out to get my hair cut or whatever. And, like, I had boots. I had shoes. Everything I ever needed. It was just all in my backpack.
Yeah.
And, like, it was just a life in a backpack. Like, it wasn't really that difficult to carry that stuff around. It was just more of I didn't want to. My old foster parents ended up letting me stay there at their house for, like, I think it was like a month and a half.
Yeah.
They ended up kicking me out before my birthday, but I didn't really. I stayed there for like a month and a half. I felt bad for doing that, but they let me. So it's kind of like my other out in the cold, because this was like, actually like, I think it was last October.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I stayed there for like a month and a half, and then it came to November 12th, and it was my birthday, and I was kicked out, and I was sleeping outside, and I had to spend that in the shelter, and it wasn't really fair, but whatever, what are you going to do? I went to school, I did my, like, I went to work, but when I got kicked out, I ended up calling my boss, and I told her, like, I can't work no more, like, I'm living at the shelter, and I actually, as soon as I get steel toe boots, I can go start working again.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Cool. Get in my zone. I'm swagging out of my zone. Swear I'm swagging out of my zone. Boy, don't let me get in my zone. Don't let me get in my zone. I'm swagging out of my zone. Is there any advice or wisdom that you want to share with people who are out there listening in respects to homelessness?
I would probably say now, don't hold back on asking for help. You know, like, I let pride get in my way, and I put my head up in the air and didn't ask for help when I should have, and that was my I should have asked for help.
Yeah.
So I would say, I mean, if you find someone or an organization that'll help you, use it to the full advantage. I don't know why or what word would describe it, but I never wanted to say I need help.
Yeah.
I don't need help. I can do anything. And then finally one day I was like, I need help.
Yeah.
And it helped so much. So to anyone young, for example, yeah, ask for help. Like, don't be nervous or don't be hesitant. Like, if you need help, you need help, right? Yeah. Everyone needs help sometimes. So, like, once I did ask for help and started asking for help, I was like, whew, you know, that's a huge weight lifted off me.
Yeah.
So now I'll talk to anyone and ask anyone for help. I mean, it's a good feeling now that I can do it.
My wisdom is something you already may already know or may figure out as you go in life. Things are the way they are. Things will happen either way. The way you choose to deal with them is the actual result you'll have to deal with for the rest of your life. It's the main choice.
Mm-hmm.
I learned in a long way not to get mad at ridiculous things. Not even ridiculous things. Things that happen or don't work the way, it sucks and you're going to be mad about it or upset about
it. Like, it's cool to be mad. Like,
you got to blow off some steam. It's good to be mad, but, like, I feel like mad and angry is slightly different. Otherwise, sticking to and dwelling on one situation and one aspect of life, it's a way of life. Life goes around. Things will come back eventually. You'll get it again. Things will work out. Because I was the same way. Like, I tried to do it. Things would not work out. So I tried to just sit around. And as I was doing it, I just continued to be more lazy and lazy. And the hole just kept on getting bigger. And I realized, well, regardless if I give up, things are not getting done. And I'm going to be in the same place, if not in a bigger position. And you won't, like, regardless how low you get, you still got to go up. As much as not the best situation, you want to get out as fast as you can and get out of it. People try to rush through things. If I didn't actually have this lifestyle the way I did, I wouldn't be the person I am today. Like, of course, I'd rather have a better life or a better situation, because everybody's past, everybody makes mistakes. You don't want to admit that you've always done something. But at the same time, you wouldn't be you. You're the you that you know now. As much as it was the best thing, it was an experience I wouldn't have had any other way. So the people I figure and I see this is like, oh, I want to help you, I want to get you out of it. But at the same time, you don't want to move too fast. You help them as they go through the steps.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you don't learn anything. You don't know how to set yourself up to protect yourself from it happening again.
Totally.
I feel like some people should go through it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the best thing, but you learn a different mentality of life that you wouldn't have learned anywhere else.
Don't be so judgmental. Don't be so quick to, like, overlook people, because that's a lot of the problem. I feel overlooked a lot in my life, even now. And it's because you don't bring a lot to the table for society. I mean, they think you're not worth as much because your net value isn't as high or something.
Yeah.
Or you may or may not pay taxes. there's still contributions to be made. And I think people who have a harder life and go through more of these trials are, like, if anything, more valuable in the end, because they have more understanding and more experience.
Life experience is huge, right?
Yeah.
And, like, getting over those things. When you've had a lot of things going on in your life and the ability to get over it actually makes you a stronger person
than
the person who's gotten everything their whole life, right?
Like, someone who has everything given to them and they're born into a wealthy family, they get threatened to be cut off the will or whatever.
Yeah, it's true.
When they have a mansion and a car from daddy, they get threatened to be cut off the will and they think it's the end of the world. And, like, there's been people in the past that have killed themselves over that. I just lost my dad a year ago, my family shortly after that. Spiral out of control with drug use and all that, and I'm still here. Doesn't take a lot to do it. You just need to change your perspective on things. You need to want it. Like, happiness isn't getting what you want, it's wanting what you've got. For the people at the bottom, don't be so miserable. There's people out there that have it a lot worse. And I know people always say, oh, look at the kids in Africa, or look at the people over in this country. And other day, we have it here, too. I was lucky when my dad went to jail and I hit the streets for the first time. I was only like a month or two away from turning 18. But there's kids out there that hit the streets when they're like 12 or 14. Some of them are girls and some of them are pregnant. That's not easy. You just got to, like, think, what do I need? I need a place? Okay. So you talk to workers. There's people out there. You find a shelter. You find a, a social service building.
Yeah.
And just tell them what you need. And if they can't help you, ask them to point you in a direction. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't trade the life I've had for a more privileged life any day of the week.
Yeah.
I appreciate everything that I've had because it made me the person I am today. I think everything happens for a reason. Like, yeah, some things are tragic and, like, it sucks that you have to go through it. But if anything, you should appreciate the things that happen to you, no matter how good or bad they are, because they give you a better appreciation. Like, if you never were unhappy, if you never struggled and were never happy, like, unhappy in your life, then you wouldn't fully appreciate the times where you were good and you were happy.
Yeah, no,
if you're just happy all the time, then you wouldn't feel happy. You'd feel normal. You'd be looking for excitement. You'd be bored.
Kindness goes a long way. And you see someone that's homeless, or maybe they're not even homeless, but you assume they're homeless. Just don't be so mean, you know. Don't just step over the person on the grate. Don't just, you know, they're people too. And, you know, donating things like sleeping bags, mittens, boots, anything like that. Right now on Wednesdays, I'm going to do a little plug here at the community.
Yeah, go for it.
Community Health Center, we have a program every Wednesdays from 10 to 12. It's called Warm Connections. Anyone in need can come down and have a place to have a safe shower, hot shower, clean clothes. We've got food. We've got winter boots. We've got hats. We've got emergency winter survival kits, so you can get a free brand new backpack, a free sleeping bag, and some other warm gear that you might need. So if anyone could donate to the Community Health Center to help with that program, or anyone in need.
How can they donate?
You can donate to the Community Health Center. The actual full emergency kit is $60, but we accept any sort of donation because any little bit helps, whether it's money, whether it's clothing, and just come on down to the Community Health Center on Wyndham Street, downtown Guelph, and give a helping hand.
Try and stay at home. It's a lot better to stay at home, and I've told a lot of my friends and stuff, like, to stay at home, it's a lot easier on you, and it's a lot, like, less stress and less money you have to pay from people stealing your socks.
That's true.
Like, I had to spend so, like, or not even me, it was my mom, like, she had to buy me a lot of clothes, and it's just easier to stay at home, and where you got everything in one place.
I guess I'd say stay in school and finish it till the end, because you're going to need it when you grow up. Because if not, you're kind of fucked. And, with that high school, it'll get you so much farther than you really think. Honestly, you have to look at it and lay down a line and an ultimatum for yourself. Like, you don't usually see it when you're young, but, like, once you get older, you're kind of like, where am I going to be in the next 5 years? What am I going to be doing when everybody's out doing their own thing? Am I going to be stuck, or am I going to make something of myself? And then you have to sit there and look at the kids that are, like, going out and skipping and doing drugs and be like, I've got to stay here and do my work. And honestly, high school goes by a lot faster when you just get the work done in class.
Yeah.
Like, I used to always goof around in class, and once I started sitting down and actually doing the work, next thing I knew, the class was over. Felt like half an hour went by when it's like 70 minutes of class. Yeah.
Is there anything that you want to add?
They should bring back the Out of the Cold program in friggin' Kitchener. Out of the Cold was a recently destroyed program in Kitchener. There were 7 different churches. It was always the same night for each church each week. Does that make sense how I said that? And a different church would open its door, come from November to March, or once the cold came to March. And they would open the church at 5 o'clock every night until 7 the next morning. And homeless people could come. If they had the facilities, they could have a shower, a place to stay, a meal. A lot of people would even just come just for the meal and then go home. Mm-hmm. There's clothing donations. And the city of Kitchener has decided that it's not a safe place for youth volunteers or a lot of the volunteers because of the crystal meth epidemic that's happening.
Right.
And that, so I did that, like I said, I did that program 3 winters in a row. And there was always, and then I've also had the opportunity to be able to go back as an outreach worker and volunteer and give back to the place that helped me. And it was so sad going back like 2 years later, it was still the same faces and the same group of people. That's probably about a good 200 people a night these churches were serving. And those are the people staying there. That didn't include the ones just coming for dinner because they needed food, right? So by now, think they closed that program. Where are all those people? And these churches are now putting money in to put them in hotels or open other shelters. And the House of Friendship and Mary's Place, they're kind of really trying to help that out. But there's still, you know, and we need things like wet shelters. Because I remember one night, this one guy, we'll call him Jim, and he big drinker, big alcoholic, and they caught him with alcohol in his pocket. And they said, well, Jim, you can either dump the alcohol outside and you can stay, or you have to leave with your drink. And he left with his drink. And this, and the gentleman that evening was not a violent person, wasn't one to even cause any trouble. And I was just like, let him have his drink, right? And he wasn't even allowed to like go and finish his drink and then come back. He just had that option at that time. And it was kind of sad.
Yeah.
Making policy to suit their own needs and judgments and whatever it may be, but it's not realistic to life.
You know, use all the resources that you can out there. Guelph's got so many resources and it's a great place to get help. It's just, it's hard to find the help. So, yeah.
Never feel too concerned about a situation. As much as it might feel like the world is ending there, there's always a way.
If you never had hard times, you wouldn't appreciate the easy times for what they are. Like, you have to struggle and be unhappy sometimes, be down, so that you feel the relief and the joy and the pleasure that you get from the easy times and the good times. Because, like, everything really is a privilege and a blessing. Even though the past 5.5 years of my life have been the hardest 5.5 years, and I've been through some pretty intense things, some really painful struggles and hardships, I wouldn't change any of it, because it made me who I am, and more importantly, it brought me to my soulmate. If it wasn't for the 5.5 years that I just went through, I wouldn't have found the love of my life, Courtney. And it makes the 5.5 years of struggle not only more than welcome in my life, but I can't, for lack of a better word, I would say, like, desirable, if anything. Like, I couldn't live my life again without the hardships that I went through and the loss and the pain that I went through, because I wouldn't have found her. Or if I did, we wouldn't have made the same connection. We wouldn't have had the same importance to each other or significance. Yeah. And she really is my soulmate. She's my other half, my puzzle piece. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't... Like, she inspired me to change the things that needed to be changed and gave me the strength to do it, gave me the motivation to keep going. And when I was at the lowest I'd ever been at, I was ready to give up when I met her. And thanks to her, I'm not only content with myself now and content with my life, which is better than anything. Better than being happy is being content, in my opinion, from what I've learned. And I owe it all to her.
Cool.
Love you, Courtney.
Before you tell yourself it's just a different scene, remember it's just different from what you've seen. I'm looking at you through the glass, don't know how much time has passed, and all I know is that it feels like forever. But no one ever tells you that forever feels like home, sitting all alone inside your head. Cause I'm looking at you through the glass, don't know how much time has passed, and all I know is that it feels like forever. But no one ever tells you that forever feels like home, sitting all alone inside your head. And it's the stars, the stars that shine for you. And it's the stars, the stars. Yeah. I'm looking at you.
time has passed. Oh God, it feels like forever, but no one ever tells you that forever feels like home, sitting all alone inside your head. Cause I'm looking at you through the glass, don't know how much time has passed. All I know is that it feels like forever, but no one ever tells you that forever feels like home, sitting all alone inside your head.
My request is It Could Happen to You by Blue Rodeo.
And you told me a little bit of context about the song. Do you want to share that?
Sure. So my older sister and I, when we ran away as kids, we went to Toronto. And we were living in a squat with punks and squeegee kids in the 90s. And Blue Rodeo showed up at the squat and said, you know, here's food and drinks. Can we make a video about becoming homeless? And yeah, and the whole day was spent filming our squat and writing the song, or them doing the song, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah, so people should check out the video,
yeah,
right?
Really cool.
Yeah,
really cool.
I mean, listen to the song on the radio and then check out the video. Don't tune out because we'll have more stuff.
Definitely.
Okay, all right, thanks, Dave, for coming on the show.
No, thank you.
Okay, cool.